Blog Talk Radio.
Presents TNT on BTR with your hosts, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Strap in, wrestling fans, and get ready, because it's TNT and it's dynamite! Ladies and gentlemen, happy Thursday to you. It is time for another loaded edition of Rampage Rants Thursday Night Turmoil here on the Evolution Radio Network, exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will cover one of the most controversial topics that I feel we may have covered in the almost nine years existence of this program. Tonight, really? We are asking Mr. Jordan to kiss the ring. We will get into full details on that momentarily. We also have some news in the realm of WWE that we'll be discussing tonight. As of this Monday, Monday Night Raw will have a PG-14 rating again. We will be talking about this and much more here tonight on the program. But I want to start things off the right way if we're asking somebody to kiss the ring, because this guy doesn't know who he's dealing with.
What?
right. Well, we are going to eventually be joined by Crime Fighter on this, as he's got some more details that he will be filling in. This started a couple months back, and it actually goes back longer than that. There is a fan by the name of Mr. James Jordan, and we don't believe that is his real name, that is, to my recollection, he was taking inappropriate pictures of female talent and then taking those pictures and close-up of genital regions and so on and so forth and posting them to his social medias with inappropriate comments. He was called out on it. It was brought to my attention. This is where it takes a little more turn for the worse. It was brought to my attention this past Sunday that in the month of March, this man attended an event where he was asked to stop all of this nonsense by a female wrestler's husband. And I have been told, and Crime Fighter will confirm this fact, that this man basically met this male female worker's husband in the bathroom and was armed. Now, it is alleged that he is an ex-felon. We don't have 100% confirmation of that at this time, but it's alleged. So, Crime Fighter, I'm going to pass the floor to you. I will let you fill in more details.
All right. I do want to say we have covered this before, probably the week that the March incident happened. So.
Correct.
And, yes, I went looking to confirm what he was charged with. Unfortunately, circuit clerk records are kind of located or isolated in individual counties, and you basically have to search in every county in the immediate area to find everything that he's ever And unmute Kate, because she's apparently not been weighed in.
I don't know. Am I here? Can you hear me?
You're here. Yeah,
okay.
I can hear you.
Well, okay. I spoke earlier, and nobody said anything, so I felt all alone and muted and stuff.
Well, we could hear you singing the music, but you are here, darling. We'll get to our introductions in just a little bit.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right.
Go ahead,
we're going to go away. Anyway, I did do the search and to see if I could find the information on what he was charged with previously or convicted of. I haven't found anything that rises to the level of a felony as of yet. So I'm going to have to discount the ex-felon claim. But that does not negate the fact that taking a firearm into a designated gun-free zone is illegal, or should be, considered to be illegal. That's a violation of
how would you
gun ownership or your FOID privileges. And I don't know if he's got a FOID card or not. He is a Missouri resident. So from what his home address tells me. But let me go back to March. So an incident occurred in Alton where an individual by the name of James Jordan, and that is not his real name, but I have his real name, but to cover our rears, we're not going to say what his real name is. Those who know, do know. Called himself a certified hustler. He supposedly is a host of, well, he was the host or still is running a podcast and claims to be a talent scout. He was ejected from a pro wrestling epic event, although back in March, he has creepy photos and comments of the female talent during the show. And just about all of them got deleted, like, in less than 24 hours. Maybe he deleted them, or somebody else got them taken down by reporting them to Twitter. Several wrestlers who were in attendance as spectators, and that was pretty much the entire Team Ambition group. That's Davey Richards' students ran him out of the building, and police were called to remove him from the premises.
Oh, my.
Police arrived.
Wow.
Now, what I didn't know in March, I learned over the weekend. So we have to fast forward over to July. I guess I should say he did post a rambling, incoherent statement about him being ejected which didn't justify what he was doing at that show. That video happens to still be up, surprisingly, because he's posted videos where he's calling out various people and he then takes them down after a few days. This one happens to still be up, oddly.
Yes, because I went to find some of this individual's videos, and some of them I could find. Some of them had been removed by YouTube. I want to take a minute to pause here so we can press to kind of process everything. So we're going to put everything
himself, actually.
Okay, one at a time, please.
We're going to put things in perspective here. This man has been attending shows. We don't know really for how long. We were told that these issues go back even before March, where there had been problems with him attending other events in the area. I believe, Crimey, you told me he attended some of Herb Simmons' SICW events, and they had problems with him.
Out of a number of promotions.
It's kind of like this. If I were a promoter, and Sin will tell you as the promoter, if we catch somebody taking inappropriate pictures of our female talent, our female staff, or, you know, female family members of said wrestlers or staff, you're ejected. And that should come
with
a lifetime ban.
Wow. Back when I was working, we would have gotten them out a lot and beaten the crap out of them. But
if I had my way, I'd be like, take the whole female roster, put them in the ring, nonchalantly invite them into the ring, and allow them to beat the ever-living snot out of him. That's what I would do.
Was one reason why they didn't have the chance to beat the crap out of him is because they might have gotten shot.
That's a very good claim there, Crime Fighter. But we have to be serious about this. We cannot not be serious about this. I'm going to let Crime Fighter continue, and then I'm going to step back in as to why this is something that Sin, Katie, or I cannot take serious or lightly. And we'll get to those reasons here in just a few moments. So Crime Fighter, continue on with this ongoing report, I guess we will call it.
Okay. So we fast forward to last weekend, because I'm pretty much 4 months has elapsed. I thought everything's died down. It's like out of sight, out of mind. But for some bizarre reason, it got forwarded to me that, he took to message the father of a now retired wrestler, and apparently he's kind of barbecue business, and he's done cookouts for the wrestlers or at wrestling shows doing concessions. This individual messaged this wrestler, now retired, accused them, asking them if he was the STL reporter guy. And I sent screenshots to Sean because they were forwarded to me. The victim in this case didn't know who he was, and he didn't know who I was, which makes it worrisome. He didn't know why he was messaging to begin with and then threatening, if I see you, I'm going to punch you. Or see him, I'm going to punch him. So he felt like he was in danger and then posted, shared it with the St. Louis Wrestling Twitterverse, and several people responded saying, okay, this is who he's talking about. This is who this guy is that was messaging you. He's not going to kick out several shows. And then the wife of one of the female wrestlers, who is, I'm going to say who it is, it's Riley Knox. She's the current PWA Women's Champ. She was in the match. It was her husband that first asked Jordan to stop posting the creepy pictures. And he was doing it while the match was going on. He was snapping a photo, a super zoom in on certain parts of the ladies' bodies and post on
can only imagine
comment or inappropriate comments. He asked him to stop at some time later. He apparently got cornered in the restroom and he was threatened to be shot. And then that's when Team Ambition jumped into action to run him out of the building. So I think that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Now, also over the weekend, he also posted like another video where he ranted about SICW and Herb Simmons. That video has been deleted. I kind of did a little fact-checking and said, did his claims about SITW have any merits? Partially, but it doesn't matter. That's just a distraction from the real problem. We can hash out concerns raised another day, but it's not today. And it may not be exactly 100% accurate what he alleged. The bottom line here is what he did was outrageous. He cannot, apparently, he refuses to look in the mirror and realize that he is the problem and not everyone else. He can't, for some reason, refuses to acknowledge some of his actions are unprofessional and disgusting. It's him acting as if everybody else is wrong and everyone's out to get him and everyone's out to smear him and everyone's out to lie about him and everybody's out to sabotage whatever career he's trying to build.
Oh, of course.
He won't accept responsibility for his actions. He wants to blame other people for his actions or for whatever he thinks. He thinks he was wronged when he was the one doing the wrong. The bottom line is this, and yes, so what did the victim do? He did forward the information out to local authorities. He did have his Jordan is not very bright because apparently he had his home address listed out where it could be found easily.
Oh, my.
So that information was collected and forwarded to local authorities. I don't know if the father is on the Illinois or the Missouri side of the river, but I'm going to have to assume the act of cyberstalking occurred from the Missouri side of the river. So it might be a cross-state line type of a deal. And I don't know where the victim lives either. He might be on the Missouri side. He might be on the Illinois side. If it's on the Missouri side, then it's not a state line thing. But he was looking for me, and he did not find me. He found someone else who did not know what the heck is going on or what his problem was. And I do not miss Twitter. Okay, everybody chime in.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a pretty big scumbag.
He
doesn't belong allowed into events. People need to know about this guy.
I'd just throw this in there. Billy Corgan and the NWA have been warned about this guy in the last. Whether they take action and ban him because he's driven all the way down to Tennessee to NWA tapings and post the clips.
Oh, Jesus.
From his cell because he recorded clips and posted them online. So he's gone down there, but they need to ban him from the
– well,
the NWA is supposed to come down back to St. Louis last weekend of August. They need to not admit him to the building.
Where is the 74th anniversary weekend happening? Because I know that's going to be two nights.
At the Chase in St. Louis, they had it last year.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure because I know that they were doing some stuff down in Tennessee, too. I want to say this. The reason that this is such a serious matter, at least for me being a 90s kid, and I hope I've got my timeline right here. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, because that's what this – we have multiple hosts for. This is not a one-man opinion. But I go back to about the year, I want to say 1998, Columbine here in the United States, if memory serves me correct. So we've had that. We have had multiple mass shootings throughout this country since then. Pulse nightclub down in Florida, whether you agree with it or not, the fact of the matter is somebody went in there and opened fire on innocent people. And we just had an incident here in Highland Park, Illinois, on the 4th. So go ahead.
That actually touched Billy Corgan because he owns a tea house in that area where inside the crime scene zone.
Yeah, he's a Chicago native.
The thing about it is this: with him, I don't want to use the word unstable because people are going to say, "Sean, well, you've got mental issues too." I do, but I'm on medicine.
But that's
why
you could say something, because you do have issues, so you know what to look for. So yes, you can.
This man obviously has some kind of mental defect. Don't know 100% what it is. But the fact of the matter is this. I am leaving, just to give everybody an update, I am leaving Illinois on September 1st. All of the T's have been dotted, lines are crossed, everything's hunky-dory. I will be back to take some bookings here at some point, I'm sure. It's not going to be right away. It'll be in time. But I could not in good conscience take this information that was given to me by Crimey and leave the state and have something happen and have this on my conscience. I just couldn't do that, which is why, I am calling for a Midwest, but maybe if he's going to travel all the way down to the South, I think that we need to, as a community, as the wrestling community, as the Brotherhood of Professional Wrestling, or at least what it used to be, take a stance here in arms and ban this guy from every show that he could possibly get into. We don't know that he's not going to travel here, there, or everywhere. But what we can do in the meantime is put a Midwestern ban completely on this guy and anything that he's going to in Tennessee, because we know that Ric Flair's last match is coming up as a part of StarCast 5 in Tennessee. That's actually coming up within the next week or so. 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Now that I look at the calendar. Yes. So if this guy's already traveling down to Tennessee for the NWA, he will probably be there for Ric Flair's last match. That's just my assumption. Which, let's be real here, okay? We have seen fans jump the guardrail at the Hall of Fame ceremonies attacking Hall of Fame talent.
Oh, my God.
In WWE,
What's to say that Ric Flair gets in the ring and this guy doesn't pull out his gun and be like, you know what? Today's the day somebody needs to pay. Boom to Ric Flair. I mean,
worse yet, boom to some security guards on his way to Ric Flair.
Correct.
Kill multiple people.
Correct. I look at this could have somebody, and I'm not pointing fingers here because there's going to be promoters that hear this that are going to think that I'm pointing fingers. I am not pointing fingers, but I think that you have let too much time lapse in a very serious situation that should have been handled promptly from the get-go. That's not me pointing fingers.
I can guarantee you one thing. He's not on the show, but he'll never be at a Mephisto show again. That guy's gone from there.
Yeah, he's been banned, and the string order has been filed, so I imagine that's not the only one that's out there.
Yeah. No, but my point is this, and again, Lenny, Mephisto, if you hear this is not a direct shot at you. But having this information that he was armed, that should have been all ammunition off, all gloves off, all bets off. This should have been handled a little bit more promptly than what it was. Because if this guy comes to another show, you're getting
hang
a,
on.
Hold on.
One
at
a time.
Let me finish my
one
point.
One at a time.
If this guy were to attend an upcoming event with these details just coming out, while some of the other wrestling community down in southern and central Illinois know this, not everybody was made aware of this. Not everybody was privy to this information. This is something in the wrestling community that should have been exposed to everybody the moment that it happened. Because, and I'm not pointing fingers here again, just let me play devil's advocate. I want everybody to hear me and understand me clearly. If something would have happened before this news was able to come out public on this platform or any other, I don't know who would be to blame. Obviously, the individual in question, but there should be, I would say that there would be other parties responsible for that as well, because they sat on this information and something could have happened. And that is why I'm asking that if this ever happens again, whether it be here in Illinois, California, where I'm going, anywhere, we do not sit on details like this. If we have a fan that is walking into a wrestling event armed, we all need to drop everything and come public with it, because we've got to protect our own. And this goes back to a statement that Steve Kane made before he died, and a statement that I make a lot on this program. We have not done a good enough job policing the business, because if we were policing the business, this guy would have never, ever, after this happened in March, ever been allowed near another wrestling venue ever.
Nope, never.
Now cry me the floor.
If things were different, like when I got the biz, there was like only five companies in Illinois. It's really easy for the five companies all to agree to kick a guy out. Now with it dispersed and I'm going through multiple states, that's where you run into the problem of really getting the information out there.
Crime Fighter 4 is yours.
They did call the police that night. They did show up. The problem is he gets across the state border to Missouri, and obviously Illinois police can't exactly chase him into or try to stop their jurisdiction in Missouri. Or the state.
Only
correct.
In hot pursuit, yeah.
Correct.
And
I think maybe that may be what this guy looks at as his loophole, but what he doesn't realize is, if he's traveling to these wrestling events all over the country, he doesn't realize that promoters and workers have a better connection now with the invention of social media than what they ever had before. And
well, let's
put it
this way.
Go ahead.
The word has gotten out. It has propagated on Twitter. Obviously, I reported this incident. We're going to have science or photos at the ticket table for the wrestling events this weekend. They don't admit this guy into the building. We'll have multiple shots of him so people can ID him if he happens to show up. I don't know if he will. He's not going to be welcome.
If he were a smart man, he wouldn't show up. But this is where I take a stance from other people, because people look at the situation that happened down at Joey Grunge's show when I was getting ready to come back in 2019 with Shawn Sims, who beat the ever-loving shit out of his wife on New Year's and left her for dead, and then was going down to Joey's and taking bookings. And I got a hold of Joey and I said, hey, his name's in the paper here. Like, there are some serious shit here. He doesn't need to be working for you. And everybody's like, oh, you were going to have Joey Grunge beat the shit out of him. If that's what it took, or the idiot that was assaulting Jess Blue, Country Boy Zach. I had to think of his name. These are situations where I believe that a veteran, there are times that people in this business still to this day in 2022, with all the laws and everything that we've seen, yes, there are times where a veteran needs to take a young guy in the ring and teach him a lesson. And there are too many promoters and too many veterans in the business today that are afraid to do that because they're afraid so-and-so is going to get on social media and slam them. Well, I'm here to tell you I've been doing this shit for 20 years. And if I start promoting again in California or even help watch talent here, if I feel that a guy needs to be taught a lesson or stretched in the ring, I will tell talent to do it. This is where me and a lot of other promoters differ. And I was taught this by Ed Schumann. I was taught this by Sin. I was taught this by Tim Lyle. This is the way it's done. Because if you don't break the bad habit or the bad spirit, quick, it's going to continue.
Why do you think guys like Ray Traylor and Bradshaw had a long career? Those guys, those were the guys that, like, if Vince wanted to punish you, you're working them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bradshaw also wasn't a Boy Scout either.
He was in the business
for himself.
He got in
trouble often.
No, he wasn't. He was a shithead.
Go ahead, Finn.
But I was just going to say, Ray Traylor, 90% of his job in WWE was to stretch guys. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Until his later runs. They used him in the 80s all the time.
Well, other than to have that feud with Hulk, yes, that's what it was. If you had to get in the ring with Big Bubba Rogers when he was with WCW, you pissed off Dusty Rhodes. And if you had to get him in the ring with him,
want to be in the ring with Vader back in that age.
Or the other one, and we've got to give credit where it's due, Stan Hansen. I mean, my God. But getting back to this is a very serious thing that we cannot push under the table. I don't want people to hear this podcast tonight and go, he'll be fine. Nothing will happen at my event. Because when you let your guard down, that's when something's going to happen.
If somebody can give me some good pictures of this guy, I'll post them on social media. I don't care.
Oh, my.
I will get them from Crime Fighter, and I will get those sent over.
Finn
feels
no way. She's like, I feel no way. Yeah, I'll do it.
Channel.
I'll do it.
Getting off of YouTube.
I don't know enough about him. Somebody would have to send me a link to him because I'm sorry. I try not to watch garbage people.
I know you don't.
Finn, Katie,
what?
Hey, let me cut in. Thank you. Finn, Katie, take over. Yeah. I've got a screen call.
Yeah, I mean, how is that still allowed to happen when they already knew about him? Why didn't they ban him before? You know, before this gun incident, he could have been banned.
The woman
he's been banned
from
several places, but not everybody knows it.
Well, okay.
One at a time.
Wait. One at a time, please. Okay. Crimey, please. Crimey, go ahead, honey.
Continue.
You continue.
Okay. I'm cutting in then. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a manager friend of mine, and we don't always see the eye to eye because people that know me in the wrestling business know I really don't do the whole politics game. Like, if you're my friend in the wrestling business, as long as you don't shit in my Cheerios outside of the wrestling business, we can still be friends. Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of my former managers. He was a part of RWF Wrestle Wars 1 and Wrestle Wars 2, slated to be a part of Wrestle Wars 3 and Rebellion Rising. He is none other than the Prophet, Jim Spraggan.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, how are you?
Hi, Spraggan. How you doing?
Hi,
oh, my goodness. I'm good. So glad to hear you. I'm so glad you're here. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Good to meet you.
You were talking about Shawn?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's still wrestling.
I saw that. He's wrestling up in Wisconsin, and I messaged that promotion because Angus McDuff works up there, and I told Angus about it. I was like, well, here's the girl's phone number because I still had it.
Angus.
He's like, here's how you go contact her because I don't know who would in their right mind would book him. I wouldn't, but I also know that Excalibur, his cousin or whatever, has something to do with that promotion up in Wisconsin. I tried to put a stop to it.
He wrestles. Excalibur wrestles up there too. I seen Stephanie that day when the whole thing happened.
Yes.
She was a mess.
And
I was going to go look for him, but my daughter talked me out of it. So.
Well, that's probably for the best. We love having Spraggan have his freedom. But what we were talking about tonight, Jim, to start things off, is there was a wrestling fan down in central southern Illinois that was zooming in on genitalia area of the female wrestlers and staff and things of that nature, and then taking them and posting them online with inappropriate comments. And then when he was asked by a female wrestler's husband to stop, he met the guy in the bathroom and was armed. Look, I'm not opening the door to politics. Everybody hear me right now when I say this. But this is why I don't know that even gun control can work, because allegedly this guy was an ex-felon, but we're going to say it like this. If somebody wants a gun bad enough and has the means to get it, they will obtain it. We know that is a fact.
Oh.
It's a fact. It's, hey, I may be in Canada, but and our, we may have gun laws and gun control, but that is a fact. If you want something bad enough, you're going to be able to get it.
If I wanted a gun, I probably could have one tomorrow.
I mean, and this—that's
the sad fact.
That is sad.
And you know, I had to bring this to the public's attention because with all of the mass shootings, I mentioned Columbine earlier. I think that was the year 1998, if memory serves me correct, because I was not that old, but I remember it. It's a moment in history that you, even at that early age, you don't forget.
Yeah.
Plus all the mass shootings since then. This is not something that we as a wrestling brotherhood or we as a public can let sit. This is not acceptable. There are actions. I've always said there are a couple moral sins that workers can do or their family can do that could have a backlash on them in the wrestling business. Obviously, one is thievism, because if you're known as a thief, you don't belong in any locker room. The other one is, you know, like, obviously murder or attacking your wife, like with Shawn. But this would have to rank higher on even those two's list. If you're not supposed to have a gun, if you have some kind of mental defect, which, look, I'm going to admit I got one myself. I have no right owning a gun, just so we're all clear about that.
I know. You don't want me having a gun either.
So I don't think that this is something that needs to be kept quiet. I think we need to pick up the arms and say, hey, this guy shouldn't be allowed anywhere near, not even just wrestling shows. Let's broaden this spectrum, because if he goes to a concert and a member of the band pisses the guy off, he could the dynamic
of
this is
you have to go through metal detectors in a lot of these places now. So.
Yeah.
If he were to show up for the concert, you'd have to pass through a metal detector to get in.
Yeah.
And he would get caught on the spot and dealt with.
I do want to give another disclaimer.
While the Wrestling Brotherhood may have full knowledge of this guy, the support teams for all the wrestlers and the promotions may not have all that information, and it may not propagate all the way down to them. The guys who take the ticket lady at the table, the security guards, unless you provide pictures of this guy at every show in every Midwest promotion in the country. Every promotion in the Midwest, can do so much,
barrage something, and
something will break through eventually.
And this kind of goes back to everybody knows that I was supposed to be running events before I scheduled my move. I was going to be running events up in West Dundee, and it's kind of like this. You think that people can be trusted, and people show you reasons why they can't be trusted. And I'm not going to go into full details on what happened. Everybody that listened to the podcast when we outed that knows what happened. But the thing about it is this. This is an individual that is dangerous and has to be treated as such. And whatever support anybody needs from this podcast, myself, Katie, Crime Fighter, I'm sure, Sin, you'll get it. But we don't want to see something happen at the hands of this guy, because this is your warning. This is your omen.
Yeah.
Do we expect everybody to hear this? No, but it will replay. The replay will constantly be available. We want people to know about this individual, because here's the thing. There's a rule when you're riding the Chicago trains and even at the airport and you know, stuff like that. If you see something, say something. What that means is if a fan recognizes this guy, they need to get up and go to the promoter or somebody at the – do it discreetly now, because we know this guy's walked into a show armed. Make sure that they know about it. Because if they don't and something happens, it can't be stopped. If they know about it right away, they can try to get him out of that building.
Yep.
Spragan, I'm going to let you have the floor on this.
Well, the first thing you said is he's an ex-felon. So the gun
is probably allegedly. If he's
an ex-felon, then that gun is a ghost gun. Stolen gun from somewhere, or a gun that's been, you know, the serial number has been taken off of it and all that.
Correct.
But
one other possibility.
When I was
somebody else bought it for him.
That yeah. true too.
Is that too?
And go ahead, Jim.
When I was doing my thing, my job was to make people angry at me. I've had experiences. I walk in through Walmart and somebody challenged me to a fight because of the show. And I'm like, dude, get a grip. Get a grip
on your life.
You have somebody that obviously has some issues.
Yes.
And
no doubt.
If he's allegedly a felon and he's going to Tennessee for shows, he's a felon taking a gun across state lines. That's a federal offense.
Assuming.
Yes. Well,
yeah,
and it's even a crime fighter to go back to your earlier point. You said that he's in Illinois or from Missouri, but the incident where he had the gun was in Illinois. So that rule that Spragan just said would still apply. He took a firearm across state lines unless he knew somebody here where he kept the gun here and picked it up along the way. I'm going to make that point abundantly clear, but there's more to this that we are going to unravel in the coming weeks, and it's a very dangerous situation. And I'm going to let Katie, Jim, and Finn speak on what the old man would have done if the old man would have logged on to social media and seen those pics of his female wrestlers being posted by this individual. I'm going to start with Katie.
Steve would have made
that.
Go ahead, crime fighter.
Before you do that.
I didn't
share this little juicy detail.
Hold on, time out. Crime Fighter's got the floor. Go ahead, Crime Fighter.
I forgot to give you this juicy little detail. This guy wants to be a wrestling promoter as well.
Oh, beautiful.
I was going to work
after
this. The old man would have been all over this. You don't understand. He would have been all over this. He would have gotten pictures of this guy and everything, and he would have posted them all over social media so everybody knew who this jerk was. He wouldn't have let this go. I'll tell you straight up right now. He would not have let this go. He would have done everything in his power to out this guy and make sure that this could never happen again.
I plan on doing that.
Yep.
Finn, with your experience with Steve Kane, the old man, as we call him around here, what do you think his reaction to this would have been, knowing him you knew him?
Honestly, it would have happened one of two ways. The boys would have probably would have wanted to attack the guy and try to disarm him and beat the piss out of him. And Steve would have either let it happen or he would have said no, and he would have been escorted out. And then everybody in the Illinois area would have known what the hell this guy looked like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of way that this is. And, you know, do I believe that wrestling in Illinois needs to be sanctioned again? No, because we saw that it failed. We know the reasons it failed. Steve Kane was one of the guys with Tim Lyle that got the commission abolished. Just so everybody's aware of that, because I actually was privy to that story, and I think he shared it with Crime Fighter, that he was actually the one to go down to Springfield and fight with those idiots that were trying to sanction wrestling and go, hey, you're making this really hard for us, and we have seen from the increases earlier this year that a lot of Missouri promotions are coming back to the Illinois side of things, because Missouri's regulations have always been insane, but they're getting more insane. What needs to happen here is that we need to police the business better. And what I mean by that, everybody thinks when I say police the business means keep the yard tards at bay and all of that. No, policing the business means much more than that. It's keeping your audience safe. It's keeping your talent to and from the building safe, to and from the hotel safe if you have a name. When these guys get to the airport, because I've seen it time and time again, I've got friends or fans that do it, you do not go to the airport where you know of the major metropolitan city that this show is going to happen at and meet these guys or girls at the airport. It's disrespectful. Very disrespectful. Can everybody hear me? Because I feel like everybody cut out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you clearly.
Waiting for you. Yep.
We're being quiet.
These guys don't want to be the most disrespectful thing you could ever do. And I did make a mistake and do this at the one show I went up to up in Rockford, but I got him when he was washing his hands. I said hi to Masada because I hadn't seen Masada since Ian ran down in Peoria the last time. But these guys and girls don't want to be bugged in the bathroom. They don't want to be bum rushed when they get to the building and get out of their car. Give them a little bit of space. Promoters have security or ring crew that can escort your talent to and from their car. I've always agreed with that, especially if it's a bigger name talent. I mean,
or female.
Correct. You know, this is the thing, because these people, in the instance of what I was going to be doing up in West Dundee, Illinois, I was going to be bringing in an Eric Rowan or a Jerry the King Lawler.
What do you think?
Or Gangrel. These guys would have been given star treatment, because when they come to your promotion, you have to realize that they're taking time out of their busy schedule, whether you're paying them or not, to accommodate you and your fan base. Some of these people that bring in names, they blow my mind, because some of these names will get back on this program or other programs that we listen to, and we hear horror stories. So when I say police the business, it's making sure that rings are safe. It's making sure buildings are in safe neighborhoods that you're going to be running in. Okay, I told the story a couple months ago about how I did my first trip up to Berwyn, and it was kind of an uncomfortable neighborhood. You know, these are things. Policing the business
I've
means
wrestled,
so much more.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
I've wrestled on the south side of Chicago. It's not fun. I also wrestled down south once, and we literally saw a car chase where a guy pulled a gun out, and I blew the red light the hell away from the gas station it was happening at. Just to get away. They had cops chasing him down. He pulled over, pulled out a gun. I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Policing?
Yeah.
Finn, can you speak a little bit more on what policing the business means? Obviously, it is in terms of talent and who's working with you and closely to you, but there's more to it than that.
We're not talking about the psychology of policing the business. We're actually talking about keeping people safe from fans. Unfortunately, I really feel no matter how far we go, there's always going to be that guy that could jump in the ring. Happens in the WWE still. You know what I mean? These things happen. But you can definitely try to be safer. Try to get venues with metal detectors if you need to. I know it'd be a pain in the ass. Or buy a handheld one yourself. Just to check. Make sure nobody's got weapons. That's really the safest thing you can do for your talent. When you bring names in, like you said, treat them with respect. I think it's funny when you're talking about treating them super nice. When we called Morton, he was like, we were like, so what you know, what are you willing to do as far as the day of the build-up? He's like, well, you're paying me. I do whatever you tell me to the minute I get off the plane till the minute I get back on. So it's just kind of funny to hear an old-school mentality name compared to a newer one. But, yeah, you got to keep your name safe. Always have somebody travel with them that you trust as a bodyguard for yourself, if nothing else.
And obviously, and I've said this numerous times before, too, there have been shows that I've went to. And, look, if you've got somebody that's watching over the money at the front door that can actually hold their own, that's fine. But if you don't, you need to have a big security guard. And look. Spragan, Sin actually watched that footage of your bodyguard at WrestleWars 2 when you came out with Scar, and he's like, why does Spragan have a bodyguard? In that instance, That big sumbitch right there that came to the ring with you, I would have had stand next to my mom and watch over the money. Because if anybody wanted to try to touch her that money, they'd have to go through him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I mean. You have to
you need a big mother chucker at the door to protect everything. I don't care who you are.
Even in terms of making sure that the ring gets to and from the building safe.
Yeah.
We've seen the business. It all falls under that line. And you know, when, like, Crime Fighter has camera equipment. Obviously, you're not going to trust anybody with that. But when the promotion that you may be working for is hiring new trainees or new security guards, or I'm going to use this one as an example, and if he's listening, it's going to really rub him the wrong way. But a referee like Bubbles Burr, you know, you don't want a guy like that that's clumsy over his own 2 feet near expensive equipment. Mm. This is all coming down to the category of policing the business, protecting your own. The reason that the Brotherhood created the statement, police the business, was to protect the people, and not only in the business, but the integrity of the business as a whole. And I think that I said this here a couple weeks ago. I don't know that Katie was on. I think she was. When the inception of this program began, there was a network that we were on within the first couple years that was called Back to Basics. And too many of these promoters that don't know the first thing about what they're doing have never been taught the basics. So they can't go back to the basics.
Nope.
I think what the show is due for is a promoters roundtable soon.
Yes, and I am working on getting that nailed down. Promoters, if you're hearing the sound of our voices, we are looking to get our next promoters roundtable going. We've done a couple of them in the past. They've been a great exchanging of not only philosophy of booking, but marketing ideas and ways to get people in the door and keep them coming back. How to do proper storytelling, what a proper time length of an event should be, how long your main event should be, what some of your angles should be, and not always the same old stuff. Like, the reason that we actually get to talk about this stuff, seeing me, the old man, and even Katie and Crimey and Fragan too, is because we've been in the business. We've been around the business long enough to have a valid opinion that is based on more facts than bullshit.
And I know shit about shit, so don't ask me about that. I know shit about shit. It's the truth.
Fragan,
I know nothing.
Spragan, Crime Fighter, I'm going to let you two have the floor here for the last about 5 minutes of hour one. Anything that you two want to say, platform is yours, one at a time, though, please.
Well, I just wanted to say I'll tell you what I did when we had Maria Canales in. I had some of my friends who were rather large gentlemen that weren't involved in the business, weren't involved in the show. I had them come up. I had them sit around on the inside of Safe Haven till when she was signing anything, they were pretty much within 5 feet of her. And she didn't know who they were, but they were just sitting around. And you have to do that. If you have any kind of name, you have to provide protection, and the wrestling fans didn't know who these people were. I did, and all the wrestlers knew who they were. But you have to do something like that, because you're waiting for trouble.
Okay. All right. What did you need to say, buddy?
I was going to say, I said, don't put. You know, if you would trust somebody for a bodyguard for you, that's the kind of bodyguard you want on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
I would need one. Protect everybody else from me.
That is the reason that I need one. But Crime Fighter, I'm going to give you the floor for the rest of hour one before we roll into some other topics here.
You know, Sin's got stuff to say, too. Sin always has stuff to say.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
You got nothing to say? Oh.
I can wait for Crime.
I'm just going to let you guys
I'll defer to Crime.
Well,
okay. Hold on.
I got to get up at 3 in the morning, boys and girls.
We thank you for
your work.
It was great to have
one
you
of the time. Always great to have you on.
All right.
We love you, Sprakey. Love you.
Love you, too. I will
better.
Talk to you guys later.
All right.
All
have
right.
a good one, buddy.
Have a good one.
All right, Connie. Sorry about that.
Night,
well, I don't feel comfortable promoting any particular show for the simple reason the top extremely hot and even nuclear hot. So I should wait until after the break to promote what's coming up this weekend.
Okay. All right, we will do that. No, we
and
are.
And if you
100%.
Need to remember, refresh your call now if you need to refresh your call.
Correct.
That's fine. Yes.
You know what? Sometimes
what
we're all
doing?
A little bit of freaks. We'll be back.
It's a good talk.
Intellectual. and the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner. You are listening to PWR Slam. Keep listening and have yourself an eargasm.
Why, thank you, Joel. It's been a while.
You know what? That has to be one of my favorite promos ever.
Thank you, Joel. We will be talking to Mr. Joel Gertner again at some point very soon. He had some kind sentiments when we lost Steve Kane. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rampage Rants Thursday Night Turmoil here on the Evolution Radio Network, exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my co-hosts.
The Saltless Slither, Sin.
There's a reason why this show will never be a bag of dicks, like ever. Chaotic Katie.
All right, and we are back, and we do have the Mad Conservative, Say It Sin!
Crime Fighter!
Oh, he's here with us.
Yay! And you should add this.
Okay.
The 21 Galloping Ghost Arcade Gamer of the Year!
Gamer of the Year!
Gamer
yes.
of the Year, huh?
Conservative Crime Fighter.
Yes.
Oh, yay, funny.
He does play real arcade games. Let me tell you that I've seen some of the cabinets that this guy has built, and he takes his gaming very seriously. Kind of like, you know, Sin at one point, there used to be this little wrestling card game out called Raw Deal. And it don't matter how many times I sat down with Sin to try to beat him in this game, he would always find a way to whip my ass. And then when he got me in the actual ring afterwards, I thought the ass kicking in Raw Deal was bad, but the ass kicking in the ring was worse. Welcome back, everyone. I want to start, Crimey, I know why you're here. We've got an event to promote, and we will get to that in just a couple of moments. We've got to address the 900-pound elephant in the room. What the hell is going on at WWE? We get rid of Vince McMahon. While Vince still has some say over the creative, he's still the puppet master.
He totally controls
the strength.
Creative.
It's Vince Wrestling Entertainment.
Hey, you know what? Crime Fighter, just let me say this for a minute. Katie, we were robbed of one more old man ad. I could hear him now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the VWE, the Vince McMahon Wrestling Entertainment. Oh, that would have been great.
Cornette did the math. Cornette did the math. He could have had a hooker for like 30 years for the amount of hush money he paid. So Corny did the math, and I listened to it, and I'm like, wow, how do you like that? Vince messed up.
No, but seriously, them going back to PG-14, are they trying to compete with AEW now? Because if you're going to say, we have been saying probably since the inception of AEW that Vince did not see this or Hunter or anybody as a viable threat. But if you're moving your programming to a PG-14 rating when they already have one, I don't know. That's kind of blurring the lines here.
Well, he just knows he had great success in the Attitude Era, so, you know, go back to it.
He should.
A lot of people have wanted WWE to get rid of the not so overly kid-friendly and go back towards what the Attitude Era represented. Because you watch AEW, and I did have it on last night. Oh, Jade Cargill, every time she's interviewed, she drops an S-bomb and cusses up a storm.
WWE
won't let it get that far. WWE will use it smart. They won't let it get that far.
The worst you'll hear on television.
Cursing.
Hold on. The worst you'll hear on television, and you do hear it on AEW from time to time, is the word
shit. I'm not saying you totally
take it out. And on Canadian television, the word shit on Canadian television is allowed, so we get to hear it when I get the Canadian feed, I guess. But, yeah, the old man used to call it out all the time. Why wasn't that blurred out? Why wasn't this blurred out? And it's like the word is just shit. It's just shit, you know? Who cares? Not a big deal.
Oh,
you're not, as long as, yeah,
as long as you're not using the big one, I think you should, as long as you're not using goddamn or motherfucker, I think you should be able to go and speak your mind with the word shit.
Yeah, but you got to realize not all countries are the same when it comes to that. So they got to market certain crowds.
I know.
I mean, as WWE.
Okay. We have one of our sports analysts. His name is Don Cherry. And they, when he was still doing Coach's Corner during hockey, they had him on a five-second delay because he's so off the wall, they never knew what he was going to say, so he was on a five-second delay. So they can put WWE on a five-second delay. There's no reason they can't.
I am here. I'm just a...
Epic man. Well,
go ahead, Grammy.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, go ahead, Grammy.
Oh, all right, then. There's all this chatter of Vince McMahon's going to be going away. All these scandals are going to get him out of WWE. I never believed that for a minute because how do you get rid of the owner of the company?
Doesn't he own over 90?
Unless there is a massive walkout of the wrestlers and the personnel to where they can't produce any new material, unless that happens, Vince McMahon is going to stay in WWE until the day that he leaves this earth.
Well, and it even becomes more funny than that because on Cornette's podcast, Cornette revealed that when they went public and he had gotten the wind that they were going to do that, of some of the conversations that he was privy to that other agents sat on with Jerry McDivitt when they set up that structure. Yes, people are buying.
Structured stocks are different.
Correct. And it don't matter if, look, the level of the stock is different. Vince has the stock that would make the rules. The people that are buying the stock from Wall Street don't have a pissant say.
Yeah.
Lay that out there.
Basically, the McMahon family has 99% say of what's going to be on TV right now. I mean, they just focus Stephanie to be the head of the talent relations and what's going on. So they're already restructuring. It's going to, you think Stephanie's going to say, no, that's a bad idea, Dad. I don't think we should do that on TV.
No.
I find that hard to see.
Vince McMahon can get away with crimes against humanity. Any member of the roster gets in trouble for, let's say, speaking out or saying, making comments that causes Twitter to melt down. They're going to get punished, but McMahon can do anything he wants because he's untouchable.
Well, there was even that back in the Attitude Era, guys like Batista. Batista got multiple female workers fired. I mean, that's kind of a known thing.
Molly Holly.
Molly
really?
Holly.
Wow.
From Eminem. What's her name? Eminem.
Melina.
Melina's gone public about how Batista got her fired.
Well, gosh, that was a messy situation because they were they pretty much, when Melina was let go, they were giving John Morrison an ultimatum, break up with your girlfriend or you can't work here. And
John Morrison is
cut out, and Morrison left, obviously.
Well, there was a similar thing even
Taya? So that was since Taya. They told him break up with Taya or else?
Taya.
No,
yeah,
talking
about Valkyrie.
No. The woman that John Morrison was with way before that.
Oh, at the time. Okay.
His valet, Melina.
Okay.
It was John Morrison and Johnny Nitro, wasn't it? Eminem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're naming the same guy.
Joey Mercury.
He's the one that got his face smashed in a ladder match.
Wake up, baby.
So, you know, those are kind of things that have been going on in the land of WWE. We're going to see where this goes, if it can make a ratings increase or not. At this time, I am going to go to the Mad Conservative Crime Fighter with our special report about a big event coming to Springfield, Illinois this Saturday night. It is their sixth year.
Yeah, it's number six. But Wrestling for a Cure is returning to the Illinois State Fairgrounds, Illinois building for their annual fundraiser for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I will run down the card for you because it looks pretty stacked to me. The main event will be Mac Daddy Duds, who is formerly known as Matt Winters. He lives in Alabama or Mississippi these days. He used to live in Illinois, but he moved way to the southern part of the country. But he comes up here. He is the current reigning Wrestling for the Cure heavyweight champion. He will be defending the title against Storm Grayson, who is out of the Chicagoland area, wrestling for multiple promotions up there. And I have looked up footage of this gentleman, and yes, this is a pretty high caliber wrestler, and that might be somebody that if he's not on your radar, should get on your radar. I'm certainly going to showcase the match on my program in the future after that match goes down. Some of the other matches will be the Cruiserweight title will be on the line. They faced off up at Rocket Pro Wrestling a few months ago. This is the rematch. Sabotage John Logan will be challenging the champion, Jake Lander, in a Cruiserweight title match, and it's been a long wait for this contest to happen, as Sean Logan just jumped out of the crowd and attacked Jake Lander, and I thought it was a fan. Go figure. And he beat up the entire security team. And
oh,
he me, too, when I was, like, yelling at him, because I thought he was a fan intruder, but whatever. He will get it. He got his comeuppance later in the night. He didn't even last 30 seconds in the Royal Rumble. He got tossed out very fast. Serves him right. Triple threat match. It'll be the Anderson Grimm to take on Jason Allen to take on. This is going to trigger you, Sean, but I don't care. It's going to be Tyler Bodine and a triple threat match.
Oh, shit.
Now I'm going to move on before you have a chance to comment on it.
No, who are his opponents? Who are his opponents?
I said them first. Anderson
okay,
Grimm
you have to. Who?
Versus Jason Allen versus Tyler Bodine, triple threat.
Okay, I've heard of maybe two out of the three of that, and I don't know.
Okay, I know nothing
I'm
about. This will be the first time I see Anderson Grimm wrestle a match. So, don't ask me what his wrestling lore is, because I do not know. Anyway, I'm going to move on because I don't want to get into the debate about Tyler Bodine.
No, no, no.
We know what you.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. The Mad Hatter, who is the former PWA Tag Team Champion, will take on a former PWA Heavyweight Champion, Stephen Bishop, versus the Mad Hatter in a singles match. They were previous winners of the Cameron Memorial Royal Rumble. The other matches, let's try to dig down deep. There will be an 8-man tag. It will be, and I got to figure this one out. Air Force One to team up with Chase Brooks and Eli Wilder in an 8-man tag against Full Eyes on Us. And I'm not sure of the other two wrestlers in the match. It's another tag team, and I guess you're going to have to find out the show because I don't remember who they were teaming with. All I know is, the last time All Eyes on Us was in the ring with Air Force One, they demasked a member of Air Force One. I'm going to tell you something, and it's going to make you laugh, or it's going to make you cringe, either way.
Okay.
Drama was unmasked. Nobody had a towel to cover his face, so while I was filming the match, took my T-shirt off and covered Drama with my shirt.
Good.
So my torso was exposed for the crowd to see. Of course, I was wearing shorts and shoes and socks, but they could see my belly.
I was going to point fun and say the only thing that blinded them, Crime Fighter, was your lack of a tan.
Oh, you so white.
I burn.
I went out last Friday night in a dress with my white legs, okay? So I got nothing.
I basically have to put on sunscreen when I go out because I burn easily.
Oh yeah, I'm tissue paper.
You're tissue paper.
Yeah, burn to a crisp.
I am
nice,
tissue paper.
Bright red.
Look, man. Oh, we're talking lobster red. I burn like a mother chucker. That's just the way it is. I'm a ginger kid. That's what we do. But I mean, I faint in the sun. I get sick in the sun. I can't be in the sun. Sun's not good for me.
Colleagues of our ring crew have suffered sun poisoning for being out in the sun too long.
Oh, not too long ago.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Another match that's on the lineup. It's going to be the Bang Brothers to take on the PYTs, which will be Rather Charming Bradley Stevens and Playboy Double H in tag team action. And then the 30-man Royal Rumble as the main event. That's the entire card.
I mean, like, really, the PYTs, they actually named themselves after a Michael Jackson song. Are you kidding me? That's a Michael Jackson song. Pretty young thing.
Yeah.
That's not the
PYT.
Only team
and
named that.
I'm just saying, honey. I'm just saying, the song Pretty Young Thing is known as PYT.
Yes.
I know
that.
That's all.
There was also a team in World Class Championship Wrestling that was calling themselves that.
Yes.
I know, but PYT is from my, PYT is from my childhood. So it's always,
Michael
Jackson.
Grandfather. Is Mr. O'Shea going to be at this show?
I have not heard his name come up. If he's involved in it at all, it will be in the Rumble, but I'd rather he not show up due to his conduct. Well, he shouldn't even be booked to begin with, but
correct.
Last year he pulled the stunt of just basically he was running around ringside before the show started, and then the first match came in, won the dark matches, and he stole the That's Mike from someone who was introducing the guy he was managing, and I was screaming at him to get the locker room. He had no business out there. So, yeah. And I obviously lampooned it on my program.
Yes. There's a match that I want to see if that guy is allowed one more match. Maybe the promoters of Wrestling for a Cure listening. Book Douglas O'Shea versus Angus McDuff. I promise you, after that match, you won't have to deal with Douglas O'Shea again. You're welcome.
Suplex on your skull. I've seen it happen. I was watching. I'm like, Angus is getting mad. Oh no, he's going for a German. Oh, right on the skull.
I mean,
against Ramsey last year, I thought he would have been done after that. It was the beating that he took.
I don't know why people still entertain booking him. Now, is IEW still a thing? I don't mean to bring them out of the woodwork, but I'm just wondering. IEW, the so-called
elite
of Illinois.
Still exists.
Yes. That's what I thought.
It still exists. And, yes, they're still under a coverage ban because I thought it was basically the second coming of Colonel JP presents All American Wrestling to basically get around Rampage's punishment for promoter misconduct.
Correct. And I, you and I talked about that. Basically, that was the booking committee under Frank Root breaking away from RCW because they saw me as a threat, and the one that got the whole thing axed of me going down there and being one of the head bookers was Mr. O'Shea, because O'Shea saw me walk into the building. Now, I'll remind everybody, I only worked on the HCWA Midwest show with O'Shea, but O'Shea quickly learned that around there, around HCWA, while he may have worked for them in other states, when he came to Illinois, I held a little bit of merit with that company, and not a lot of people like that. So when I walked into Frank's, when I did that one show in Litchfield, and Frank and I had a long talk, and he met my mom, and we all talked, and it was O'Shea, and pretty much I think Floyd had something to do with it, because Floyd did not want to see me come in there and shake things up, because I told Frank, I said, I like Floyd, but you have let Floyd and others come down here for too long and kind of run roughshod on you. You need to let somebody come in here that's actually going to put quality talent and not tell you what you want to hear, but bring you what you need to see that's going to bring results. And to Frank's credit, that show I did work in Litchfield, they did have a nice crowd at. I don't know what happened with them in the building after that. I don't know what happened. I heard that building was being sold or something along those lines, or they wouldn't allow wrestling back in. But that was a nice building down in Litchfield. It was a drive, though.
I should say, it's for some bizarre reason, the people can have good matches at every other promotion, but when they go to the Rampage ring, they deliberately suck.
Well, it's that ring.
Deliberately suck.
Well, there's reasons for that, and I'm not going to razz on Frank, but that ring is old. That ring, what year did he tell me he began promoting? Because Rampage had a few 90. Variations. 88, if memory serves me correct. Around 88, 89, somewhere in there. So, I mean, you're talking a ring that's, let's be real here, that thing might have even been built in the 70s. It's been through hell and back. It's got to be well maintained. I like Frank, let me finish here. Go ahead.
It wasn't always Frank Reed's ring. Some of the time it was the New Midwest ring or Sage Ramsey's ring being used.
Was not aware of that. You know, I like Frank. Sin and I talked to Frank. Early on, before I ever went down there, there were plans for all of us to go down there and Frank and I and Sin to do business together. I said, this is somebody you can bring in from Floyd's past. We can do a program. We can do some stuff. This will be, you know, and Sin really liked Frank. If Frank were maybe 20 years older, I think that there could be something that could still be done with the man. But unfortunately, he's getting up there in age. He does have some health problems. He doesn't really want to do the wrestling anymore. But in another life, Frank Root, Sin, and I would have found each other, and people would still be talking today about things we would have produced a couple of years ago. Because the man at one point, I go back and look at some of that Rampage footage from the 90s when they had the television down there. And I'm like, they're drawing houses like Tim Lyle used to draw up here in Streeter. I'm like, oh, whoa, you know. There are good promotions out there.
By the way, I do want to point out, you brought up Tim Lyle earlier, wanted to get it disbanded. That might have been one of his biggest mistakes because, honestly, when only five could run in the state, we were selling out houses like that every week.
Well,
sometimes,
and then you
two
also
times a week.
You also have to. I also have to play devil's advocate here. He got the commission abolished, and then here comes Jay Repsol at RCW, and then a year later you pop up with Wicked. So I mean, it didn't really come back to bite him more than just that way.
I knew when I was not being treated properly by the company that I was going to start my own company. I just knew it then. You know what I mean? And that's just it. You know, every reputable company anyway, you know, has a business ID number anyway. So, I mean, you get that and boom, you're off almost. You know what I mean? Rent a ring. pay insurance. Yep. That it made it so easy for anybody to do it. Luckily, a lot of the crap got weeded out by now.
And, well, not all of it. We still have some crap that's still lurking around.
I said a lot.
That's still lurking around. But I'm going to give a shout-out here. Folks, if you're going to attend Dreamwave Wrestling Summer Spectacular, I live in the town where this event is happening. Tickets are flying like hotcakes. If you don't get them, you're probably not – I don't know how much room they're going to have. I know they've done concerts, big concerts out there in the past, but it's been a while since they've probably done an event of this magnitude. So if you don't get your tickets, you might be shut out of that. Normally, I wouldn't give them the rub, but I am happy to see them come back. I want to make that point abundantly clear. And everybody knows why. It's because I feel like PWX has came to this area and just crapped all over it, like a hot diarrhea in the wrestling fans' mouths of the Illinois Valley.
I should tell you, Dreamwave's event is not going to be at the KC Hall. It's going to be at Lou's La Gravo.
No, that's
and...
why I said what I said. Right. Outdoor space. That's why I said what I said. They have done outdoor concerts at the Legrados. God, I don't know. Willie Nelson was here 1 year, Stan. I know you remember that.
Yeah, the first time they did it, they brought in Blues Traveler. That drew a huge
crowd.
That's
cool.
I mean, you know,
I like Blues Traveler.
They've got the room for it, but this is not like a huge, huge, huge place. People have to understand this is out on the west end of Peru. There's space, but there's not tons of space. So if you don't get your tickets and get them fast.
Bell time is mid-afternoon, so the gates open at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Bell time at 3. So what's a daytime show?
I like that because that's going to allow talent that works that event that may be on the first half of the show to go somewhere like SCW over in the Quad Cities or somewhere else and make another shot. That was smart doing on their part, too. Got to give credit where it's due.
Zero One is also running that day, too, down in Mattoon, and the main event has been announced. It's going to be Mike Bennett to wrestle Johnson Grisham, the reigning Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, wow.
That will be a damn good match.
That'll be awesome.
That's going to be a damn
fine
match.
You know, I know there's people at Zero One that don't like me based on previous comments, but... that would be a match that I'd travel to see. That is actually one that you get me to make the trip. So there's a lot going on in the world of wrestling that we know about. And tonight we've covered some controversy. I want to cover some more because we've kind of talked about the whole WWE thing. There's not much to talk about there. If you're watching Raw, you're watching Raw. We're getting ready for SummerSlam. We're gearing up towards that.
Yep.
We'll talk about that more if time allows. What I want to talk about now is a very critical thing in terms of people that have booked wrestling for television and understand the concept of wrestling on television and how it's supposed to look, how it's supposed to smell, feel, because we almost had a situation here. Actually, it did happen on Jim Cornette's end where Jon Moxley was in the ring defending the interim AEW World Championship. And his DVR cut off before the end of the match.
Oh, my
shit. Yes. What happens is this. When you are with a cable network, and I don't know if this applies to Crimey, he'll cut in as he needs to, you can sometimes go to the network and they don't, you know, they are not going to, this is kind of like the boy who cried wolf. If you do this too many times, they're not going to do it. But in certain circumstances, if there's nothing live on after you, and what I mean by that is on TBS, we have seen some of these other sports that are going on right after AEW or before that have messed with their lineup. If there's not a baseball game or something along those lines after AEW, they can ask for a 3 to 5 minute extension.
Yep.
That
sure
will
can.
allow them to get whatever is going on in the ring out. But, devil's advocate here, this comes down to your agents knowing how to talk to talent. This comes down to your talent, whether they're the EVPs of the company or not, knowing when that you've got to be off the clock. We have seen
comes down to why a ref has an earpiece. when you get down to that extra, hey, we got 2 minutes max, that's the guy that's going to let you know if you lose track.
Yeah.
That's why he's got an earpiece. I don't mean to break open the business, but I'm sure people realize refs
we
talk
know
to
it.
Wrestlers
we,
and
I,
wrestlers
I,
talk
I,
to refs.
As the fans, as the fans' perspective, we know. Trust me, we know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm breaking any revelation here at that point.
No.
So.
But the thing about it is this, because we talked about this a while ago. You don't, on a lot of independents, and maybe this applies to AEW, you don't have somebody that understands the art of actual timekeeping the way it was done back in the day. And if you don't have that, and you have...
What's that
and
mean?
You, basically,
what's
that with
mean?
That mean, we're going to bust open a section of the business that evidently the old man and I never busted open for Katie in almost 9 years. So when you have...
Oh,
I'm going to let Cynic... I'm going to let Sin explain this because there was a guy that worked for him that also worked my brother's one and only event that used to work for RCW that was a timekeeper, and he was trained the right way in order to give the signals to the referee in the ring. Sin, would you like to explain the art of timekeeping?
Okay, the art of timekeeping. I want to bring up a specific show. It was shortly after Steve had passed in Indiana.
Botch.
Botch. Yes. Steve Diehard Zokes, a.k.a. Botch, from the, what were him and Machine called in Chicago?
Gravediggers.
Yeah, the Gravediggers. kind of get off point here. But anyway, we did a show where we actually timed the matches. And we had a match that went the time limit, and it didn't seem weird to the crowd because in all the previous matches, we were like, winner and... you know, 9 minutes and 23 seconds and then announce the winner. I really rewatched that, never realized why didn't we always do that? I think that's a nice touch. What Steve used to do to make sure we'd stay on time, and this is the best way I've seen an indie promoter do it, up in a writer kind of area of the wall, there was a red light. It was the ref's job to keep an eye out for that red light.
Yeah, comedians had to keep an eye out for the red light.
Yeah, and basically, if we were going long, there was a monitor in back. Even if he needed to cut it short, the red light would go on, the ref would tell us. So we had too much going on to watch for the red light. So, you know, it fell to the ref. So, I mean, that's the best way I've seen it done, period. It was actually by Steve. And with us directly timing it, definitely if we were ever to do a future event, I would do time limits all the way through like we did that show.
No. What I'm talking about is you remember Eric that was in the wheelchair that would be at the ringside table with the bell to be able to send the communication back to the ref in the ring?
Oh, yeah. You want an in-between guy. First off, though, a lot of that falls on your ref.
True.
You know what I mean? A lot of that falls on your ref calling for the bell and stuff, so... yeah, you could have an intermediate guy that gives off some kind of sign to the ref. Whatever you do, basically using the ref is the method I found the best. Some guys you can go, and we used to do this all the time. We'd be told, go 10 minutes, go 15 minutes, go 20 minutes. Whatever we're told, 5 minutes it could be. A great example is this last show we were at, Sean. I was told... Each match was supposed to only be so many minutes long. As I watched matches going over time, I was in the back and I was the last one into this match. I made sure once I got in there with this guy, I let him get a little shine, but I took that home quick. You know, I knew I had to stay on time. So comes with experience.
There were other matches after us, and this is why times are important. But what I want to get back to is just so I can explain this, because not everybody's going to understand this because we've kind of been bouncing everywhere. Typically at an independent wrestling show or even a bigger wrestling show, your person with the bell, if they are trained and trained the right way, there are certain signals that can be sent to the referee in the ring. Because
exactly.
During the old times, if you were told, hey, take it down in 7 minutes, but the crowd is hot, you've got to have somebody that can signal that referee and go, keep going. Let them go a little bit longer because you don't want to lose the crowd while they're hot.
Yep. And that's when you break the news to somebody in back. They're losing some time tonight.
You know, you do not have that real – not a lot of promotions even do the actual timekeepers anymore. This is a lost art that we have gotten away from that I actually – Steve actually made me re-implement it. He's like, we got to have somebody out here with the bell. And this was going to go into effect at WrestleWars 3, just so everybody is aware, because Crime Fighter will remember halfway through WrestleWars 2, I realized we didn't have a ring bell.
Oh, just having a ring bell in general? Yeah,
yes.
Your necessity.
Yeah.
We have one. I bring one
with
me when I go on the road.
Can you picture it? Can you picture it? You don't have a bell. You just have someone with a microphone going ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, no. I bring ring bells to shows. I do because I've seen it happen.
You have a channel loss. Go ahead,
Remy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I keep a bell with me in case of emergency.
I do too.
Well,
ring a ding ding.
Well, I've been to a show where they didn't have a bell, so I ended up running to my car and pulling mine out and serving as the bell ringer for the night in the crowd.
Crimey and I know. Bell's a thing. You go somewhere sometimes and they forget it.
Well,
yeah.
Everybody's got to remember that Sean was renting equipment. So usually when they brought the ring, they'd bring the bell. I rented Joey's ring, and he's like, I didn't bring the bell. What am I going to do for a bell? I have no bell. Like,
I'm looking around the room I'm in, and I think my bell is right out in the open.
I can tell you that. Ring-a-ding-ding.
I can find it now. Ring it.
Ding, ding, ding.
One particular occasion, I actually ran up the bleachers to bang on a school bell that was in the gymnasium because they didn't have a bell. It worked, of course.
Oh, my God.
So I
actually
needed to chime in on the timekeeping thing.
Go ahead.
That's friggin', yeah.
I covered this on my show. The last time I did a news episode, I ranted about timekeeping. Independent shows that are not televised, time limits aren't really needed. There's a practical reason why you would need a time limit on a show if it's like, I don't know, Monday Night Raw, although they don't even do time limits these days. But if you have a limited amount of television time and you're trying to get so many matches and so many particular people on that episode of the program, then the time limit is a necessary thing. If the only time you want time limits on an independent show or a house show is if the wrestlers have been going way too long and the shows are going well over 3 hours and you need to come down and the wrestlers are just spending too much time.
Right.
That's when the time limits are to be
imposed. Believe it or not, for me in the back throughout my career, I'm usually given a time limit. Commonly, if I'm in a match, I'm told by the booker, okay, this match, bang, 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 needs to happen. And then do whatever else you guys want to do to get the point across. You know, there's key spots we got to hit. And usually you get a time. You know, can you do this? Or they'll ask, can you hit boom, boom, boom and make this happen and still be able to tell the story in 7 minutes? Because that's all we got for this one.
And no, what I think Crime Fighter is saying is conveying the time limit to the fans. And the prime example of this, because he was there live to record the match between Phoebe and Paloma, and you've seen the footage then, and you both had the same reaction to that time limit draw. That just kind of left a blast. Go ahead.
There's also bugaboos that I have about the time limits. It seems that the person keeping time seems to have trouble keeping time. And then the actual time limit, the bell is ringing way early or way late. And, like, you got a you have smartphone apps. You can run a countdown.
Right.
Yes.
And it's like they announce, oh, there's like 1 minute left. And it's like I look at and I'm keeping time on my cell phone. It's like,
there's like 5 minutes.
And then I go run it, sprinting over the timekeeper table and show them, hey, this is how much time is actually left.
Hey, you know,
bugaboo.
You know something funny about that? Kurt Razzo and I 1 year decided to have fun and try to count the Royal Rumble entrances on WWE.
Oh, God.
It was a nightmare, dude. There was like a minute 19, 2 minutes 30. You know, like none of them were like.
Oh, my God.
You could tell they were waiting for spots and then announcements instead of like time
limits. You
know
what they did with that? They basically start the 2 minute countdown when the wrestler gets in the ring on whatever number they're at.
So if somebody
takes like, I don't know, a half a minute to get in the ring, well, they start the countdown when the wrestler gets in. That's why there's been so much wild disparity.
Seriously, what do you do if someone has like an Undertaker long entrance, you know?
Like, well, Undertaker's been in Royal Rumble matches and a number of them.
I have timed him. He takes 7 minutes.
I know, but in Royal Rumble matches, he comes down in his normal look. Yeah,
he flies down.
In Royal Rumble, unless you're number one or two, they typically run to the ring to get in. They don't wait. They don't do their full-blown entrance. They sprint in the ring because they want to get in there and start swinging.
Unless they're debuting a guy like AJ Styles or Edge coming back, or they've done that in the past,
Edge got a nice entrance when he came back.
I really liked what they did for AJ, just because they really kept it hush. That was a great entrance.
Yeah,
because
he came running down. He's like, this was supposed to happen 10 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, well, we do have some other upcoming events this weekend. I am not going to announce the one because they're calling it the Summer of Ego, and I won't give that shitbag airspace.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Ego Disco Fantastico?
Yes.
He's on my shit list.
You're going to fill me in on this one after the show is over.
Sean.
Okay, not a problem.
If you're going to shit list, play the damn song.
Not yet. I have one of those for later. AAW tomorrow night in Marriott Park, Illinois. I believe this is damn near sold out. It is one hell of a card being announced by AAW. We've got some big, big matches on this. It will be the AAW Heavyweight Championship match. Matt Fitchett will take on the winner of Manders and Fred Yeehy. Your women's championship will be on the line when Christy James takes on Heather Reckless. Ace Perry and Hammerstone take on ACH and Jossie for the AAW Tag Team Championships. Number one contenders match, Billy Starks versus Lady Frost versus Sierra versus Vert Vixen. You're also going to see Big Beef, Gnarls Garvin, a Central Illinois name for those that are paying attention. Chase, former RWF star Silas Young, Russ Jones, Ren Jones, Braden Lee, Davey Vega with Hartenbauer and Logan, Shane Hollister, Karam, and Levi Everett. So, folks, AAW puts on some pretty stellar events. If you're in that area, go check that out. We have another event tomorrow night if you're in the Franklin Park, Illinois area. Tomorrow night, Chicago Style Wrestling. This is a match that if I had planned more ahead, I would actually be traveling to see this because I'm still a fan of the man. It'll be Vic Capri versus Davey Richards tomorrow night at Chicago Style Wrestling at the American Legion in Franklin Park.
Nice. That's going to be a good match.
Really?
I got another one besides Wrestling Cure. Yes. Iron Spirit Pro will be going to Bloomington, Illinois on Saturday the 16th at the Station Saloon. I'm not in front of my computer. I'm taking a walk down the bike trail to get some well-needed exercise while I listen to you. Yammer.
Well, you're going where?
Several people
are you going?
From Bloomington. I'm I'm walking. I'm getting some exercise while I got my cell phone out, and I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Several wrestlers from Peoria and Bloomington.
Yeah. All Kirby's like, yeah, excuse me. I got to get my steps in.
I haven't got my steps in. I've gained weight, and I got to do something about it.
Oh, I'm huge. I'm getting round.
Don't want to hear it then. I went to a doctor's appointment, and they're like, oh, you're still losing more weight. Last time I went.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to.
I was like, you lost weight. No, I gained weight.
Yeah,
so irritating.
I hate my doctor when I gain weight.
This will be the first appearance of the new Iron Spirit Pro ring. They have purchased their own ring. I don't know what company they got it from. They have not said that. But I'm not going to announce everything on Iron Spirit, but your Iron Spirit Pro Championship is on the line. Brubaker will take on Orion Starlight.
Brubaker's a solid champ. Is he the champ?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I could see making him champion of a company.
And then, obviously, the big one. The big one is the afternoon of the 17th. I believe that's Sunday. You have the Midwest Wrestling Reunion at Barbecue Productions in Lake Zurich, Illinois. Eddie Sharkey, Joe Alonzo, Heather Reckless, the Brothers of Funstruction, JP, Justin and Robert King, and Mr. Rico, though, for the Announcer of the Year, who worked for us in the past. Promoter of the Year, Ed Hellier, and Mark Cavall. And your special recognition award is going to go to the Soul Touches, baby.
There you go, the Soul Touches. The reason to be there.
Touch.
All right.
I'd love to see Willie Trauma again. I just got CC Red last month. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
But getting back to this AEW stuff really quickly, because we've got about 10 minutes left on tonight's program, there's some other things that we're going to try to get to next week. I mentioned last week, if anybody is not watching Dark Side of the 90s, you need to be watching that. There was a two-part episode with Dan the Beast Severin and Ken Shamrock about the early formation of the UFC.
I watched it.
It was good. It was good. You
it
learned
was
some things.
Good. Especially when they got to, like, sure, I love Shamrock, don't get me wrong. But you got to Day of the Beast Severin, and it was really nice to see him. He looks great, and he says, yeah, and don't think I can't go, because I can still go.
Want to throw out a hot comment towards an individual that I normally don't like in AEW. That's QT Marshall. QT Marshall on that dark match of the show was amazing. That guy just pulled it out, and I'm like, that's why he's on their roster.
I like
this guy's got a lot more than I thought. And yeah, I just want to point out, I retract anything bad I said about QT Marshall. That guy can go.
Respect.
So we're not going to get into a lot of the AEW stuff tonight. I do want to close with this. Because this has been an ongoing problem with a certain promotion, and I just have to say something more about it again. I am gonna beat this drum to death until somebody hears me about this.
Sip, you know what? You just made the list. Oh no!
Oh, here we go.
Made the list. Oh no!
Oh, here we go. Well, indeed.
A fellow Canadian saying it.
They continue to make the list because I feel like I'm beating a drum to death here, but I have to call a spade. When it comes to a wrestling ring, if you want information on how to tighten your ropes, how to keep your ring skirts tight, how to have the best cross cable on the bottom to get the tightest ropes, you need to talk to the guy that promotes War out of Ohio because he's doing it right. His ring is fantabulous. He's got a lot of compliments for his ring. And look, Zawa for months, because you can ask Katie and Stan, and even Crime Fighter, I've been sending them pictures of this and going, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to get hurt. And I don't know if it's because they tried to make these ropes themselves and they weren't made right. I don't know what the deal is, but it doesn't matter which ring they're using, their 18-foot ring or the little 14-foot ring. These ropes are loose to the point where somebody's going to get hurt. Now, somebody's going to come back and say, oh, well, it's only the bottom rope. That's the most dangerous. Here's why.
Yeah.
Because if that bottom rope is off, and it looks like halfway through this one event they just had, they fixed it, but I'm seeing a lot of mixed footage here to where it looks like it's been fixed, but then it goes back and breaks again. This is – get it fixed. Have somebody that knows what the hell they're doing fix it on both rings, because this is – it's embarrassing. This goes back to their so-called steel cage.
Yeah, the chicken coop match.
And me making the point that if they're going to ask wrestlers to get in a ring, a so-called steel cage like that, and have rings that don't have ropes that are safe, look, I don't care if the bottom rope drags a little bit, but if that thing is sagging, saggier than Grandma Biddy's old titties, then you need to have it fixed.
Okay, as a fan, when I'm used to the rope being bouncy. Okay, like I've been to promotions where they weren't as bouncy as they should have been, and that was for Canusa. Yeah, when we had Canusa, Rosemary, and everybody came, and it was a tournament, right? And the ropes were just a little bit loose for my liking. Because I'm like, I don't know about you, I like bouncy ropes.
Typically if a rope happens to break, they would move the bottom rope up or take and eliminate the bottom rope entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
The middle and the top are the most vital for running the ropes. The bottom rope, not so much.
I disagree with that because I've been in training long enough with Finn, and we've seen some things happen. If that bottom rope is off or loose, if you have to take it off, you can realign
the
– let me finish my statement here, please.
Okay.
If you have to take that bottom rope off because it breaks, you can realign the bottom under cables of the ring that nobody's seen under the ring skirt, and you can condition the middle and the top. But if that bottom rope is sitting there sagging, that means that either the bottom cross cables are bad. My main point in all of this is if that bottom rope is not completely tight, it's going to mess up the functionality of the middle and top. They all go together in unison. It's for people that have never put one of these together, it's kind of like a puzzle. You got to tighten
the. Look at it this way, guys. We're using cable in our ropes.
WWE
is one of the few companies that still use rope. Okay, have you ever seen a saggy bottom rope in the WWE?
I've never seen a saggy rope in the WWE, period. I've never ever seen one.
You know what I mean?
There has been loose rope.
AEW, for all the crap people give AEW, you ever see a sagging bottom rope?
Nope.
You know?
No, they typically fix it.
Ring of Honor, name them. Yeah, exactly. They have a ring crew. But, I mean... Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do run into an instance where something's got to happen with a rope, and then obviously you sacrifice the bottom. But the bottom rope is, I mean, it's going to be looser than the second and top most of the time. But it shouldn't be sagging. That's not a good sign. That's all I know. Now, as far as shitless goes, I'm just going to let Ego know. I'm going to let Crime Fighter know a little bit about Ego. I first met Ego because he traveled down with Botch, Machine, and the guys. And he thought he could just get on the card, right? Because he traveled down with his friends. Well, I informed him, you know, no, we're already booked for tonight. Come to find out later, he stole things from the venue because he was mad. So after stealing things from a venue, of course I'm never going to bring the guy back. Well, he comes back from WWE Developmental, and he works a show for Botch in Indiana. Botch passes away after he's booked. He comes, he works a show. He put Icy Hot in my freaking underwear that was not attached to my gear, that when everybody went out to pray or to pay service in memory of Botch, he stayed long enough and back to do that out of just being petty. And when Machine found out that somebody did that on that night, when Steve's funeral was the day before, he freaked the hell out. Totally classless act by Ego. I have no respect for the man.
Yeah, we know how Ego turned out later.
Yes. Yep. And look, there were a lot of people that are going to say, oh, Sean, you never filed that lawsuit. And I'll give my reasons here because I'm leaving the state as to why. It wasn't the fact that the court filing fees in this county that I live would have been extravagant. It was the fact that this guy is a goof in all essence of the word.
Oh,
and
that's
when
saying
you,
a lot.
When you have to pay to have somebody served and they conduct the serving and then you have to pay to have it done again, I'm not a rich man and I'm not going to play with a clown. I think that anybody that knows anything about the wrestling business, at least in this region of Illinois, or anybody that followed Crime Fighters program or saw the events that transpired from RWF Rebellion Rising, know what that guy is and know what he's capable of. But we also realize that it wasn't solely just him. It was his band of merry-go-idiots that had been trying to control the Chicago wrestling scene for I don't know how long, and they've lost their hold on it. Thank goodness.
Well, the problem, too, is originally he was part of a good crowd. He was just a bad egg in a good crowd, hanging out with guys like Botch, Machine, Tristan. Tristan can be a little bit hard to handle at times, but, you know, those guys all around are pretty good guys to be around and work in a locker room with. So I was really disappointed in the way he acted when I met him. And then for him to further steal and then, you know, play a gag on me because he's mad at me after, you know, I had a good friend buried the day before. It's childish. It's stupid.
Very. Very.
And, let's call a spade here. I mean, he is the reason that Rebellion Rising and any events that were going to come after that did not happen. Because he decided to scam Sean out of ring rental, and Sean was in the predicament where I didn't really want to deal with a Joey Grunge, but if push would have came to shove, if I actually could have taken a step back objectively and calmed the hell down, I probably would have called Joey. Joey was one of the only other guys that had a ring that would have fit in the venue that we were running in Pontiac, because I had to have a low boy ring for the night. And when you get into a situation and somebody lies to you, And you know, the other plan was Brian Blade. Brian had a show the night before in Nebraska. He messaged me that Friday night. I said, leave the ring in Nebraska because I'm not in a situation to pay for two rings. But at the end of the day, he is the reason that that didn't happen. There are other individuals responsible in how that all fizzled, and they know who they are. But at the end of the day, no, I don't have any respect for him. I think his shenanigans over the years have been just silly and stupid, and for what? Like, let's be real here. He was a star in this area, at one point. They were calling him legitimately when RCW was up and running, Jay Retzel's first company, they were calling him the mayor of LaSalle. And you want to go and, like, screw over fans in this area that haven't seen you in forever, probably because you had another falling out with Retzel, because you want to be petty. It sickens me that people like that still exist. But furthermore, ring safety, folks, if the ring doesn't look safe, if you wouldn't put your two-year-old in that ring, maybe you shouldn't be working in it. Because I wouldn't let my niece or nephew, I think my niece is about 8 years old now. I wouldn't let her near a Zawa ring. I don't think that it's safe. Something is going to happen. And here's another thing I want to bring up before we close that a lot of people don't realize about those ring ropes and those cross cables. Those are all there to keep the ring square. That keeps everything from shifting out of position to keep everybody in that ring safe. Want to clarify that point. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out here tonight and allowing us to give you some insight into the world of professional wrestling. We will be back here next week with a guest for Wrestling Authority Radio. Same bat channel, same bat time. I am Sadistic Sean David along with my go ahead, Crabby.
I was going to add one more point to your last one. Yes, those cross cables are needed because you don't want your ring, besides keeping a square, it will shift into a parallelogram if you're not careful. We have the training ring we have at Pinfall Academy. We had to add stuff to the ring that wasn't part of when we purchased it, basically supporting bars, and then add cross cables to keep the ring from twisting.
Yes. And
another reason why you have to have them, is to keep that ring square and keep it from shifting. Let's say two of the poles shift to the left and the other two poles shift to the right, and then you've got a parallelogram.
Correct. And this is the biggest problem with
90-degree angles at each corner.
No, and this is the biggest problem, even still to this day, with high spots rings. They're like, oh, you don't need the cross cables. Bullshit. I have seen too many of the high spots rings where the posts either bow in or bow out because they don't have those cables. And that's how we're going to close tonight.
Yes.
I'd like to thank everybody again. I am Sadistic Sean David along with my media correspondent here.
Saltless Linda, Sin.
Well, I didn't know you were a media correspondent, but that's
okay. Gamer
of
the year.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I jumped in too soon.
Got it.
Crime fighter.
Come on. Gamer of the year. The mad conservative crime fighter.
Oh, I figured Sin was introducing you and you were introducing him. But anyways, that's okay. And me, of course, the reason why this show could never be a bag of dicks, Kiata Katie. Thanks for coming out, folks. You know the drill. Take your glasses back to the bar and turn off the damn lights.
Good night, everybody. We're doing a hard close tonight.
Good night.
Good.